This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Mark Hawthorne. Anger and justice is something, a couple of things that actually go together. Often to get justice, you have to have something to be angry about, and channeling that anger into justice, there's no more noble cause. Rouge Amedi, is that right?
Amedi,
I'm sorry, I'll get it right the second time. You're a senior human rights campaigner at GetUp, but you're a writer and an editor. What drives you for justice? But before that, you actually have to have anger about things, don't you? So what makes you angry and what justice do you want?
I think I developed this like sense of justice because I'm originally I'm Kurdish from Iraq. I was a refugee to Australia, and so from a very young age, I saw the stark consequences of prejudice and how that can affect people's lives. And so Kurdish people are ethnic minority in Iraq, and they've been displaced on their lands since World War II, and has seen like consecutive experiences of genocide through various forces. And so I was raised in a family that was constantly questioning the powers that be and things that were outside of our sphere of influence, and how that could, you know, deeply affect our way to put food on the table, to connect with our culture, to see our friends, to have movement, to speak our language, things like that. And so I was acutely aware from a very young age. And now my work gives me the opportunity to see a broad range of intersecting communities and how vested interests have a need to perpetuate a disintegration of community and connection, disempowerment, and, you know, to fulfill their need to concentrate power and wealth and everything like that. So I think, like, although anger... anger, I guess, like, comes in two forms, right? Yeah. Firstly, I think it comes from mourning or grief. It's a mourning and grief that doesn't have a place in the world or is often silenced or ignored, structurally as well as interpersonally. And then also anger is like that fiery, red-hot anger that is reactive, sometimes can be harmful, and sometimes can force us to act from an instinct that is from a deep socialization that could be prejudiced as well. So it's sort of like moving through those oscillating experiences of anger. And although I try and not force us to always have an outcome or productivity through that, I think there's a space for us to be with community and to express that anger and grief and everything like that. Ultimately, my work is about channeling that and getting people to feel empowered and connected to each other so they can make difference.
What are some of the campaigns that you've worked on in your career?
I've done a lot of refugee justice work. I think one of the most pertinent issues that's related to our communities is the experience of LGBTI refugees, especially when they are applying for asylum and they're often forced to perform their transness, their queerness, their intersex identity according to a Western notion. And so the process to seek asylum and to have that, you know, be processed in the system is quite prejudiced as well, and quite harmful. And then my other work is about building a national independent racial justice movement, which sees that the structural racism that a broad range of intersecting communities, multicultural migrant communities, as well as First Nations communities, are experiencing are interconnected. And we need to build a coalition that although our experiences are varying, ultimately if we support one another and build partnerships through our various communities and experiences, we can break down the barriers that prevent people from practicing culture, language, having connection to land if they're First Nations, but also being able to put food on the table, to stop discrimination at workplaces, you know, in the schoolyard, over-policing and over-imprisonment and things like that that a lot of our communities are facing today.
Obviously, your family had to flee quite ingrained and institutionalised prejudice mm-hmm. in Iraq. You and your family, what's your experience of prejudice here in Australia?
I think that racism in Australia, like, we need to kind of break open the conversation. We sometimes fall into what is racism and what isn't, who gets the right to say it and who doesn't. But the way I see it is that there are barriers that are put in place structurally that prevent people from feeling living full and dignified lives. And so we want to confront those barriers. So, for example, in multicultural migrant communities, our punitive migration system that was enacted on refugees and were targeted against people who were seeking safety through means like through like on the border of Australia, things like that. That kind of imprisonment system has been expanded to the broader migration system. And so we've seen in the last 20, 25 years a denial and like a destruction of the social safety net that supports people from building their lives in this country. But also it means that we're seeing undocumented and temporary migrants that are working and living in precarious situations where they don't have equal rights in this country anymore. Australia used to be a permanent migration country, and that's where our credibility, our international identity came from. But in the last 20 years, we've actually destroyed that. And so if someone wants to become a citizen of this country and have equal rights and responsibility, that's actually denied to them. And we've like passed a lot of discriminatory laws like English language tests and other methods. And we've actually made it far more punitive to become a member of this community. So we want to combat that.
How do you think, Rouge, how do you think we've got to this space, this place? I mean, you know, Australia post-war, yes, it, and let's acknowledge it was a white Australia policy. Mm-hmm. However, millions and millions of people from Europe predominantly came to Australia fleeing war, fleeing hunger, fleeing all sorts of oppression, and were welcomed pretty much with open arms. This was about building the economy. Immigration has always been about building the economy mm-hmm. and providing opportunity. Mm-hmm. Economies don't grow unless you have more people and more activity. So how have we got to this point where so much of the political narrative and the institutional laws and activities are taking these really pretty awful discriminatory views? Why have we got there?
I think you have to look at the birth of the colonial state of Australia and the displacement of over 500 different tribes and communities, First Nations communities in this country. You know, it's an age-old method of divide and conquer. If you distract the people, if you disempower people, they tend to start to attack laterally their own communities to their left and right. And so I think that I kind of pinpointed at this very specific time in while we had former Prime Minister John Howard leading this country. And what they did is that they pinpointed and targeted people who were seeking safety, through the Tampa crisis, for example. And they pinpointed this group of people, these people who were merely asking for support and help. And they victimized them through this whole process as a distraction method from a distraction from a systematic change to the way that we process migration, that we measure migration, and that we support multicultural communities. Mm-hmm. And as a consequence, now we have over 1 million people here who are on temporary visas or undocumented. And those people are propping up three distinct industries in this country: hospitality, education, and farming. And so there is cheap labor being flushed through the entire system. And we've seen unfettered growth. And that unfettered growth is based on cheap labor and completely disenfranchised people who their bosses can fire them as well as deport them. And so there are vested interests. And that's what I always ask, is that that kind of immediate anger of injustice is really important. But there's also a moment after that where we need to regroup and think about who is benefiting from this injustice.
Exactly.
And how can we break apart those vested interests?
I wish I had the answer to that. But, you know, the work that you're doing is hugely important. You know, I look at the history of Australia, and I look at our history of immigration, our history of racism. It's a pretty unpleasant story, but there's a lot of positives.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a matter of, to be honest, disgust that we're at the point that we're at now, you know, with immigration and how people are being so marginalised and discriminated against. You know, we should be a welcoming place. You know, all of us, other than the First Nations people, we're all immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my ancestors came here as convicts. They didn't want to come, but they came, and they subsequently made a life. And that was what Australia was about.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we've lost that on both sides of the political fence, I believe, you know, to the detriment of our country. So I think it's really important work. I think it's really important work, and you know, you bring a perspective and an understanding to it. That's pretty impressive.
Thank you so much.
I love your work. I think it's really important. I don't imagine you're going to give up on it. Don't.
Yeah, it's definitely a lifelong commitment, and I never. You know, I think that being a part of a community and engaging with your community and benefiting from the community means that you have to give back, and that's just part of existing. I don't really like this atomized, notion of living that we've created in the 21st century. Anything that we can use to connect with one another and understand one another is far better.
Yeah. Great work.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.